Sorry, I need to lower my shades.
You absolute monster.
It's just the sound of privilege.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Pablo Torre and Katie Nolan, a very privileged Pablo Torre. Let's get started.
What does Daryl Morey's arrival mean for Pablo's beloved Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid?
I think this is a smart move, because what you need from an architect, if it's that team in particular, is a guy who is not afraid to do bold things. Now, many people would get into that job and might be afraid to do something with Simmons and Joel Embiid, but you saw Daryl Morey's time in Houston. He kept flip-flopping the pieces around and doing an extraordinary job of getting superstars in a market that's not used to getting the superstars. He would make big moves. He would make big trades. You could question him all you want. You could say Houston didn't win enough, but they were inventive with new math in that sport. They kept trying to build around their pieces, and when the pieces weren't good enough, they changed the playing style. They changed coach. They changed things there. What Philadelphia needs is a jolt of change. I don't think Pablo's on board with this, though. I think Pablo thinks they need a jolt of Simmons and Embiid playing together in a way that is healthy for a long time, that those are good pieces to build around. So go ahead and tell me how Daryl Morey is going to fix or not fix this thing, Katie and Pablo.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, let me jump in first, because I know we all want to hear what Pablo has to say, and I don't have to say much, because I texted Pablo yesterday to be like, what do you think about this news? Not only did he not respond to my text, but then he tweeted that he was getting a lot of texts, which is just like, answer me.
So
I, too, viewer, am dying to hear what he thinks about this. I will say my first thought, because I'm a dummy, was like, Daryl Morey loves small ball. But that's actually not true. You forget. I forget. He once built a team around Yao Ming. Like, he does. He just, it's about effectiveness, right? And effectiveness for James Harden was shooting a lot of threes. That doesn't mean that that's going to be what the Sixers are going to become, because that would be kind of an uphill battle. There's a lot of interesting things he could do with the team. I'm going to shut up now. Pablo, if you could, if you don't have a tweet to send, if you could share with us your thoughts, would be great.
Yeah,
that's all.
I do apologize. That was a total jerk move by me. I was, in truth, though, getting all of the texts. Dan texted me, Bomani texted me, making a joke about how if this feeling doesn't go away after 4 hours, I should consult a doctor. Like, I was getting all sorts of things in my inbox, because it does feel like the thing that I was wishing came true. This is the guy that I thought that the NBA would not let the Sixers hire because of all of that stuff about, you know, China and Hong Kong. But in fact, it seems like it's happening. And it's so exciting to me, Katie, for the reason you said at the end there after you made fun of me. Because Daryl Morey, Dan, actually is quite pliable. He is mostly a guy who is trying to abide by a couple of core principles, but is incredibly flexible in terms of how he does it. So, yes, he has started both Yao Ming and Chuck Hayes, in lore, the tallest center ever at 7'6", and also the shortest center ever at 6'7". He's a guy who theoretically would never have wanted Russell Westbrook because he doesn't shoot threes, and then he ended up getting him, and that ended up working out for a time. With Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, then, it is very obvious that Ben Simmons will not shoot all of the threes we all want him to. However, he is also a guy who creates more threes in the NBA than anybody else over his time in the league. And Daryl Morey's maybe most core principle here is that you need stars, you need superstars. And if you are at all familiar with what the Sixers went through vis-a-vis the process that I may or may not have named, they finally have two all NBA caliber players. I would be shocked, truly shocked, if Daryl Morey decided to lose one of them, Dan.
The most excellent version of these Sixers that we've seen is when they had J.J. Redick, Ilyasova around these two pieces. They had better shooters than they had last year. What Pablo is saying is absolutely so. I'm wondering, though, because I got this really wrong. I thought that Daryl Morey, who I think of as an innovator and somebody whose interests go beyond basketball, I really thought Daryl Morey was going off for other pursuits, that he was interested in things like the musical about basketball he was doing. How do you feel if you're Houston on this, if you're James Harden, if you've ended that experience there, and it may actually be because of the China stuff a year later? Daryl Morey cost a lot of people money, so he gets a good gig on the way out, but I wonder how you feel about this, where you still got Harden, you still got Westbrook, and he's going off to another parade. That's the litter behind the parade.
No, this job, I mean, what we know about this, and I am still, shockingly enough, doing reporting on what the hell has happened here, it's very clear that Daryl Morey sees this job with the 76ers as better than his old job, which is shocking if you look at the basketball rosters. That was a team that was like theoretically contending for the Western Conference with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And this is a team that is hamstrung by the salary cap and all of the issues of fit, which are true, Dan. But at the same time, this job is better. And this job, given all the weirdness, given the fact that Sam Hinkie was his former assistant GM and was the guy who preceded him in Philly, like, all of this speaks to chaos and bad going on in Houston.
Hey, Dan, did Pablo respond to your text?
He did. He did. I'm ashamed to say. Yes, there was a... I can't believe, Pablo, I can't believe that we're in a spot where Katie texts you and can't get a response, but has to go on national television.
You got a text from Dan and you got a text from this person. And I just noticed my theory is that you responded to them.
Sexist, honestly.
Katie. What I did was I tweeted a reply. Let me ask you this question. Is this face sexist?
What is happening there? What is that? Who is that? That's you texting. Oh, your mind was blown. You sent that to Katie that your mind was blown.
In response to a tweet that I responded to. Like, I had texted Pablo just to go over the events, because I think this is what the A block of the show is for. I had texted Pablo, no response. Pablo tweeted about all the texts he was getting. I responded to the tweet because I'm wild. Clearly, I just wanted attention from this man. I wanted some answers. And then Pablo responded to my response to his tweet with a picture of himself with his mind blown.
Yes.
What kind of friendship do we have?
I just texted you back.
Oh, thank you so much.
Should baseball consider suspending Justin Turner?
All right, this story has gotten crazy and requires an investigation that asks a lot of questions of a lot of people. The NBA shut down the moment that Rudy Gobert's test came in. They shut down the whole sport. Fans were sent home that night. The Dodgers kept playing toward their money to get baseball its money, and baseball is saying now that they had to go through the Players Association. David Sampson, the former Marlins president, is saying they knew in the second inning, and because you got to go through the Players Association and the partnership, nothing ends up happening to the eighth inning, and baseball got really lucky that game 7 wasn't canceled, there wasn't a rally, that we didn't end up with a tie season. But punishing Justin Turner, and I imagine they will do it for public relations purposes, for optics purposes, feels like the 2-minute report in the NBA after you've already lost the game, or the stripping of the title in the national championship when you've already won the title. The damage has been done, all of it, public relations, health, whatever damage there was to be done. You can punish him, but you're just doing it to make yourself look better. And at this point, you can't look better because you botched it in the moment.
Well, the interesting thing about looking better, Dan, is that, like, in some sports, in some of the examples that you mentioned, like, the theater of punishment is a thing that you look forward to. Roger Goodell famously wielding the iron fist. David Stern suspending all manner of people for dress code stuff. You want to set a message. But I believe that this is a punishment baseball... they wish they never had to do this. I mean, this makes nobody look good. It makes them look utterly incompetent. It makes Justin Turner look irresponsible. It taints the entire World Series, the aftermath of it in particular. And if you're Justin Turner, like, I get the logic, right? He is not only 35 years old, he's a free agent. This may have been the end of the road with this team that he was the de facto leader of the clubhouse for. So I understand why he wanted to go do it. The issue and why baseball has to punish this is if you don't punish cases like that, like the whole notion of public health, what we all are trying to go for, it really does fall apart. Because if you don't consider this virus as serious enough to stop you from celebrating after the World Series with the team that you may be about to leave, then everybody out there in the world, and they are already, are going to make that calculus for themselves, and they're going to go to all sorts of things because guess what? Actually, they may be more important to them.
Should Major League Baseball punish Justin Turner, I don't think they really have a leg to stand on. Because like you said, Dan, they knew in the second inning that there was an inconclusive test. And medically, what you're supposed to do is treat that as a positive until a second test comes back, which is not what happened. He was not removed from the game until Tuesday's results were expedited and received at the bottom of the seventh or the top of the eighth. And then he was taken out of the game. That is just a blatant disregard for rules that they told us were written. If you're going to punish Justin Turner as Major League Baseball, can you prove if a bunch of people get sick from this World Series game, if it becomes a super spreader event, can you prove that happened because he went back out on the field and infected people and didn't happen between the second and seventh inning when you let a guy infected with coronavirus play baseball?
Pablo, help me with something here, because if I went to baseball before this season played out and says, this is the deal, you're going to have a disaster at the very end, but you're going to complete your season and get the television dollars. I feel like baseball makes that trade. And I also think whatever the punishment is here, whatever it is, Justin Turner says, fine, hit me with it. I'll take whatever the penalty is. What you will never be able to take from me is that I had that moment with my friends. And in the us against them world of pro sports, my guess is that those 25 guys, they don't care what the rest of us think. He got his moment with his team, no matter how weird, distorted, and selfish it was.
No, this is the bet that baseball ultimately did actually make. This is the bet they gladly accept. And Justin Turner, per your analysis, did something incredibly similar. They don't have to deal with the consequences in the near term. What's going to happen, because our memories, our attention spans are so short, is that it's going to be a story for like the end of this segment. And then by the time it gets levied, it's done.
Gone.
And no one's going to really remember or care. And guess what? The people who maybe did get sick, you don't have to see them.
Unless though, Katie, unless it becomes a super spreader thing where we can point to it and say, no, that game and everything that he did there becomes something that is a calamity. But even then, the games are over, the cheering's done, and we're off to the next championship.
But it's so frustrating, because that's the thing of like, if you're managing a virus, a pandemic properly, it looks like nothing bad happened.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Get it through your skull that I don't care about what Tom Brady did or is currently doing. I'm busy. I got a lot going on.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if the Jonas Brothers are the key to athletic excellence?
All right, which Jonas brother is this? Is this Nick? Is this Joe? Is this Alfonso?
Okay, I was going to say, does he know them?
I don't know who the Jonas brothers are. This is the hot one, I am told. Let's hear what he has to say.
Kareem Jones.
Not by me.
It was Pablo who said he was hot. It was not Katie.
So, the Dodgers won the World Series last night. And yet, no one is talking about the very, very obvious theme here. To fully understand this conspiracy, we have to back things up to September 22nd, 2019. That is the date of the Jonas Brothers show in Kansas City, Missouri. You know who was at that show? Patrick Mahomes. Cut to a few months later, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs won Super Bowl 54. Next up, December 10th, Arizona. Who was there, you might ask? Oh, Cody Bellinger. Cut to October 27th. The Dodgers win the World Series. Now, last but not least, certainly not least, Lewis Hamilton. Attended the Jonas Brothers concert in Paris on February 22nd. Just last week, he won his 92nd Grand Prix, the most of all time. So, for all you athletes out there who want to win championships, Grand Prix, and everything in between, listen up. The key to success is to come to a Jonas Brothers show. Basically the reverse of the Drake curse. Let's call it the Jonas Blessing.
No.
Oh, a nice touch there at the end. I didn't hear next to anything he said because I was just marveling at how wonderful his hair is. Give me whatever
amazing
it is that you guys got on this one.
I would say the people most upset about this video existing are Lewis Hamilton, Cody Bellinger, and Patrick Mahomes, because they've now been exposed for going to a Jonas Brothers show.
Ooh,
I think they thought they could go to it and no one would ever have to know.
Quietly.
But here we have Snitch Jonas letting everyone know that these people were at a Jonas Brothers concert. I also love that we're talking about the effect on sports that a man has who's wearing basically a parody of a sports sweatshirt that just says support your friends. He might as well be wearing a shirt that's like, is it sports ball game day? But sure, Jonas Brothers are the key to sports success. And let me ask all athletes, is it worth it?
Well, let me rank, though, like the people who should be more humiliated among those three athletes, because Bellinger and Mahomes, I was just Googling this, they're 25. Lewis Hamilton, he is the big old age of 35. And Lewis Hamilton, that is an only friends on Instagram experience. You are not sharing that with the public. That is on you, buddy. That is on you for not wearing a disguise.
Wow. I really feel like it's unfair, as we are fairly ignorant regarding Jonas Brothers music, for us to Jonas Brothers shame these champions.
I'm just commenting on the fact that I bet shame is there.
I'm just curious as to why Dan is suddenly standing up for the Jonas family. Like, what do you have to hide?
What do you mean, why am I standing up for them? I ride with winners, baby. They are clearly championship birthers.
Katie, I don't think you should throw shade at these Jonas Brothers. Uh-oh. Check out this photo from 2018 at the Met Gala.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Tom.
You're telling me that's one of the Jonas Brothers? He looks different from the man who was talking.
That's a magician and the magician's assistant.
Yeah, these are two magicians. What? I don't care. Get it through your skull that I don't care about what Tom Brady did or is currently doing. I'm busy. I got a lot going on. I don't care.
I have all of these negative windows.
Care. Yes, there's no windows in here. My dog has diarrhea. I don't care.
Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Tonight at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, football, Falcons, and Panthers.
Okay, the Falcons. Now, I am pretty sure that the 1-6 Falcons are better than the 5-2 Bears. I feel like I can say that. I would prefer to play against the Bears than I would prefer to play against the Falcons, no matter how many creative ways they end up losing. But you know, Todd Gurley, let's revisit this again, because this was Falcons-Lions and the win probability thing. Needed to factor in the algorithm. Oh, needed to factor in.
I hate it.
That they would Falcon and the other guys would Lion, and who would be more losery, the Falcons or the Lions? And I just love the idea that Todd Gurley is a Falcon because he lost a step, and they wish he'd lost another one on that particular play and not ended up in the end zone. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yes. But only because Thursday night football is, at this point, it's the only way I know what day of the week it is. I get very lost once we hit Wednesday. And then after there, I'm like, is it Saturday today? But it's like Thursday night football. That's right. It's Thursday. Thank you so much.
I am so with her on that. I thought that yesterday was Thursday and I knew it wasn't because there was no football. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, mostly because the Falcons feel like a Final Destination movie. You don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen somehow. It's going to be more absurd than the previous version of it. So good luck to whoever's about to eat, like, I don't know what metaphorical object can cause someone to choke, like poison popcorn or something. Is that sufficiently symbolic enough for whoever eats that in the next game?
What are you talking about? Poison popcorn?
Don't, the Falcons, listen up, Falcons. Do not go to the tanning salon.
Do not eat poisoned popcorn.
Tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, Ghost Adventures, Horror at Joe Exotic's Zoo.
No.
Horror.
What?
Horror at Joe Exotic's Zoo. The word was horror at Joe Exotic's Zoo. Let's see what we have here. Listen to
say. Joe Exotic's house. What was the feeling you got in there?
Get out.
Oh, my God.
Travis, can you hear me?
Do you think his spirit is still here?
That is freaking crazy, dude. I just got goosebumps.
Oh, my God.
The cadaver dog is picking up on human remains.
Welcome to the jungle.
The last little remnants of somebody trying to cash in on Tiger King stuff. Really unpleasant. They should have stopped with the Joel McHale Zoom that they tried as a sequel to that. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because if you guys can throw up a photo of the guy apparently hosting this particular show, he has a very Dan Le Batard aesthetic. He had the hat, he had the black, he had the glasses, which Dan does not have currently fogging up his face, but a real on-point homage, if you will.
All right, let's go. We got some serious haunting. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I don't mean this to be the note that I continue to hit this show. I must have just reached a point of no return, but like we have been here long enough that long the piece time. Of content we all watched at the beginning of the coronavirus, we've now got a show about that show that's been produced and we're still here.
Yes,
stuff is moving in weird directions,
we're haunted.
We're still here, and that hurts, and it feels bad.
Yes,
and I'll watch it.
Pablo, look at Pablo. There's something behind you. Pablo, it's haunting.
Are we done?
Yes.
I guess that's it for the show. I have a podcast called Sports with a Question Mark. Pablo's got ESPN Daily. Dan does the radio. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
ESPN Daily.
Pablo, go. Please go. I had it under control.
All right, fine.